So this morning we are looking at, for me, quite a weighty subject, something to really get our teeth into, because so far we're looking at transformational living. We're looking at how we can be transformed in our thought processes, to be better people, to love people, and to look at some of the physical aspects of who we are and how we live our lives. But this morning, we're not looking at how we physically can enact things, but we're going to be looking spiritual this morning. We're getting into the heavyweight. Now, for me, there are a few things that Christians always say, and I want you to give me a cheer if any of these things are you. Now, I'm looking specifically at Dave. I said he might cheer for all these. If you've ever said, "I wish the Christian life wasn't so easy." Oh, Gisela's cheering. There's a £5 gift token if you cheer for all four. You're just going to... When I say cheer, I mean truthfully and honestly, if these are true of you. Because I get the privilege of talking to a lot of Christians, and I often hear the Christian, "Oh, it's so easy." No. How about this one? "I hope God challenges me more." Yay! Yeah. There you go. Oh, sorry, I'll just... How about, "I wish things were more difficult some days." Anyone? We've got no cheer. I thought you might have been with me here, Dave. You are the most uplifting person in the room, I thought. How about, "Loving everyone, what a simple task." No? No? I was hoping that we might get somewhere. Let me just click through them. Anyone get all four? No. Well, this morning, we know that this isn't true, but I would love it if it were. I would love if we could be in this room and say, the Christian life, it's so easy. The Christian life, I don't find difficult whatsoever. I walk along life and it's so glorious knowing Jesus and everything is plain sailing. But Jesus never came to say that, did he? In John 10:10, he says, "I came to bring life and life in all its fullness." Yes, he did. But he also said that life is going to be difficult. That there are going to be trials and tribulations that you face in life that are going to knock you for six. But he also says that I'm never going to give you more than you can handle. There will be an exit at the end when you face too much. Anyone in that position looking for the exits at the minute? I don't mean just because I'm speaking. I don't mean those ones. But we get to that point and we're like, I just wish the Christian life was easy. I wish things just flowed so much simpler for me. We're going to face hardships. We're going to have to endure stuff. And I don't believe that people who say these things, "I wish the Christian life wasn't so easy," I don't think they're walking the same life that I am. I've heard Christians say it. Oh, God makes life so glorious and easy. I don't believe them. I believe he gives us snippets. I believe that there are moments where we're like, this is incredible. And we ride the wave and we're like, yes, yes, yes. But when you get to the top of a wave, we come down again. There has to be that coming down. And that is because we are in a battle. In the midst of it all, we are in a battle. But you know what? I'm here this morning to look at how we fight these battles. I know we've not even done the song today. I was hoping for it. This is how we fight our battles. But some of you might not even know what battle you're in this morning. You might be thinking that, the Christian life is great, but what do you want about a battle? Do you mean those battles with my wife in the morning? Those battles to get up and go to work? I don't mean those nice, simple battles. I'm on about those battles where things are just a bit heavy. Our mind is one place, our mind is another place, and our mind is there as well. Anyone ever been in those positions? How can we live a transformed life? So far in this series, we've looked at loving our partners, loving our family, loving our enemies, how we can live a pure life, how we can live in wisdom and unity, that there's maturity through our diversity, But so often we come against the same battles in all those subjects. One that sometimes we don't want to admit to. So today, I believe I've got a privilege to share on this topic. But that as I share, I know that there are going to be more battles to face. Because the subject of today doesn't like us being prepared. The subject of today doesn't like us being proactive in our battle. He doesn't like it when we face him and fight him. So today we're going to explore battles, not with family or neighbours, our own inner monologue, but the battle that we face against powers and principalities that seek to harm and destroy us. So on that cheery note, here's the reading. You might have to... So today's reading is from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. It's on page 4 of my PowerPoint slides, if you want to follow along. I'll read it to us. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Yeah. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Yeah. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." So, Father, this morning, as we look at your word, as we look at the battle that we face, as we look at the adversary that we face, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit that you would speak to us. Yes. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in. We say, come have your way amongst us. Yes. Reveal to us afresh who you are and who we are as well. Yes. May we know this morning that we are who you say we are. Yes. And that this battle has already been won. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So this morning we're going to ask the question and we're going to look through what is this battle we face. And we need to first start off by going, who are we? Because I say we are in the battle. I don't just mean me. I don't just mean Matt and Claire. I mean all of us are in this battle. And some of you might think, oh, I'm not in a battle. I've got nothing to face. I've got no part in this. But I've got a question, and I want you to turn to the person next to you and answer this question. Who are you? If you had to sum yourself up this morning in one word, how would you sum yourself up? One word to sum yourself up. Who am I? Turn to the person next to you. You've got 10 seconds. Who am I this morning? Imagine they've never met you. How would you describe yourself? 10, 9, 8... 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we'll bring us back together. Michael, you know I pick on you a lot. How did you describe yourself in one word?
Gods.
Gods? Oh. What, you are multiple gods all at once?
I belong to God.
You belong. That's more than one word.
That's why I said gods.
Ah, there you go. Making sure you've got an apostrophe in there, is that it? There you go. Matt, who are you?
Because you limited me to one word, I said son.
Son.
And I said daughter.
Son and daughter. Whose?
God's.
Oh. See, we're going back. They need more than one word. Dom, what's your word this morning? Who are you? Her name. So Dom is Rowan this morning. It's quite impressive. Well, I've not come across that one before, but well done. It is to become one flesh, so there is some truth in that. It's quite difficult to sum ourselves up in one word. Now, if I'd have met you in the street and we'd not known each other, I said, what one word describes you? Would you have picked a different word this morning? Like just some random bloke in the street, would you have gone...
Me.
Gods. Would you have gone, Rowan? No. Yeah. But depending who we meet, what situations we're in, we have a different word that we would use to describe ourselves. So I've got one more question for you. Don't worry, there's not too many questions. I know some of you are like, please, Bob, I don't like to talk. What one word would you use this morning to describe Jesus? If you had to sum Jesus up in one word, you've got 10 seconds. Talk to the person next to you. Because we might describe ourselves as being the job that we do. We might be like, I'm builder because I'm Bob. I get that joke enough. We might describe ourselves as an attitude, a characteristic of who we are, like, servant. We are in church, you have to use nice words like that. You might use lots of different ways to describe yourself. So what did we use to describe Jesus? Gisela, what? One word. Saviour. Now, that could be because in your mind at the moment, you're like, I do know Jesus as Saviour. And that is quite at the forefront, and that's what we're thinking of. Go on then, Vic.
Mine was Saviour, actually.
Saviour. Anyone not use Saviour this morning? Yes, Amy.
Protector.
Righteous.
King.
Obedient.
Almighty.
Faithful. Almighty.
Conqueror.
We could keep going. Go on, Victoria, last one.
Kind.
Now, but that is because sometimes when we think Jesus, and even when people preach, they describe Jesus as the way that they know him at that moment. Some of us might know Jesus as healer today because we've seen something incredible and miraculous this week and we're like, yeah, Jesus is healer. Jesus is Saviour, Protector, Shepherd, Friend. And again, it depends on what situation, who asks us as to how we might respond. But to help us recognise the battle that we face today, we need to understand who we are, because that is going to underpin everything else, who we are. So I've got a little video that we're going to watch that helps us to understand who we are.
Who am I? Am I what I do? An artist? An accountant? A teacher? A mother? Or am I what I've achieved? An honor student? An MVP? A winner? Am I the things I've done right? Or am I defined by the things I've done wrong? Am I a saint? A sinner? What about what others think of me? Am I all of these things? None of these things? Who am I? How I identify myself determines how I approach life. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. If I am what others say, I'll always try to please people instead of my Heavenly Father. But if I listen to who God says I am and embrace His identity in me, I'll find the freedom to live out all He has planned for me. God calls me His child. He says I am wise and restored, that I'm a brand new creation in Christ. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. He calls me His masterpiece. I am loved by God. He says I am made complete through the grace and mercy of Jesus, my Savior. And when I see myself the way God sees me, I walk with confidence because I trust the one who answers the question. Who am I?
Because this morning, a battle could seem really daunting, but unless we realize that we are loved, that we are precious, that we are incredible masterpieces, that God has a very specific plan for us, then the battle is going to be difficult. But if we recognise all about who God says we are this morning. And so I've got something. I've just come off the Hope Tour. Well, it's last month now. It feels like it was last year and last week all at the same time. But I got every child in the primary schools to put their finger like this and to point to themselves. So will you join me and do that? And then I got them to all repeat to themselves three words to help them realise who they are and the reason that Jesus came into this earth. And I simply asked them to go, I am amazing. You can do it in the accent if you want. I find it has a lot more vigour. So on the count of three, I want you to remember that and say it out loud. Are you ready? One, two, three. I am amazing. Come on, one, two, three. So remember that for Dwayne and Chris next week. Get them to do it in the... It's a Texas accent, isn't it? Oh, yeah. I've been watching too many YouTube videos. They're all American, aren't they? But if we recognise that we are amazing, that we are unique, that we are special, that we are loved, that God knows the very hairs on our head. He knows when we lie down and when we wake up. He knows the thoughts that we have in our minds. He knows the battles that we face with our friends and our family. But he also knows the battle in the spiritual realm that is going on for us at this very second in time. He knows that we are loved and precious. But do we know that? So who are we in the midst of this battle? Yes, we are all of those things. But I want you to try and find one of these following words that helps you to think, where are you in this battle? So are you number one? Are you a soldier in this battle? Are you someone that knows you are already in a fight, whether you like it or not? That you are facing principalities and powers that are fighting for your heart, for your soul, for your mind at this moment. Whether you like it or not, we are soldiers. But we might not even know it just yet. Are you somebody that is injured? That you've already been in this fight for quite a while? That life has hurt you? In quite a big way. That the devil that we fight against is already speaking things to our head that we believed so honestly that we're already lying in our beds, injured, not knowing where our help is coming from. In this battle, are you a medic? Are you someone that is going out to help others that are in this fight, that are already suffering? I know there are people in this church that I know are medics in this fight. Because there have already been moments in this last year I've been at Ashwood where just that right word in season is the thing that has brought healing and hope. So for some of us in this room, we are medics. We are desperate to get alongside people and help them and love them in this fight. For some of us, we might be the hope in this battle. That we are going out to show others that there is hope in the midst of it all. Just stood in the middle of the bad battlefield going, it's great, we're already victorious, it's all done, don't worry. Now some of us might be blind in this battle. We're not even sure that we're in a battle. We weren't even aware of it whatsoever. I'm going to hopefully help us to realise that there is this battle. But in truth, we're all the battlefield. The battle that we face is going on right now here. In each and every one of us. It's going on in here. I don't mean those moments that sort of just, we live life and it's just, oh yeah, okay. Our mind, our heart, our family, our friends, our faith is where this battle takes place. And it is that wrestle within us that we're going to focus on today. Now, most of us, when we think of the battle, we think that it is the battle of good versus evil. Which is true, there is something to be said about that, that we're in this good versus evil fight. And I don't mean to stop us doing good things. But you know what, I've come across a lot of Christians that have loved, cared and been more generous than Christians I know. Being good is not going to particularly help in this fight because I know a lot of good people. People that earnestly love and give sacrificially, but they don't yet know Jesus. We are called to be compassionate and generous, but in the grand scheme of it all, we are in a battle that is eternal. Our battle is in our very spirits. Our battle is real and it is raging at all times. So it says in Scripture, in Romans 10, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you. In Revelation, it also says this. In Revelation 21:7, I think I even put it on the screen. That's why I've not bookmarked it. Here we go. Revelation, it says, those who are victorious will inherit all of this. I will be their God and they will be my children. So we are in a battle to stop us living a transformed life, a life that is victorious, a life that ultimately will lead to eternity with God, where there'll be no more crying or tears, there'll be no more sin and shame, there'll be no more frustrations, there'll be no more hopelessness. But all of a sudden, God will provide and be victorious in all things. We're in a life of hope and fullness, a life chock full of Jesus that is holy and pleasing to God. Exactly. But surely that last verse, that Romans verse, says that we are saved. Good times, battle complete, sermon ended. It's good, isn't it? We're already done. But no, the battle is only complete when we reach that perfection, when we reach that eternity. But for now, we're going to be distracted as often as we can to stop us living a transformed life. So I've got another video that's playing. Because I don't know about you, we get distracted by things. Some of you might already be distracted that I'm talking to you and you're like, I just want to watch that video. Molly might get distracted if I wander in front of her there and she'll have to divert to that picture. But we all get distracted. Has anyone ever been that distracted on their phone that they fell downstairs? Yeah? Me? Maybe, actually. Distracted, like I remember when I was 14, walking along the road, talking so earnestly to my friends that I walked into a lamppost. Anyone else done that? Yeah. It's a rite of passage, isn't it, walking into a lamppost. We struggle to concentrate. Now, I could have shared something incredible at the moment. Now, I want you to give a high five to the person next to you. I'm just seeing who's listening to me. A few of you aren't, like... Because you're so distracted watching what's going on over here that you're forgetting what's going on over here. That you're distracted by so many different things. We get distracted and misdirected. We do simply things because other people do it. Who high-fived because someone else did it rather than they heard me say it? A few of you. You're like, oh, yeah. But sometimes we realise that we just want to keep our head down and our battle might get easy. But we certainly miss out on all that God has planned for us. Anyone else still distracted by this? I'm going to turn it off then. Because this morning, as you came into church, were any of you distracted during the worship? It might have been, oh yeah, did I turn the oven on? Is it chickened? Did I put the stuffing out? I don't know what chickened is. In the worship, your phone might have vibrated in your pocket. And did you go, oh, hold on. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, everyone stopped. Have you ever done that? You know, in worship and everyone else has stopped and you're still like, yeah. Oh, sorry, everyone. But we do get distracted. And that is part of the battle that we're in. Because the person that we are against, this adversary... Paul calls him the devil. Some know him as Satan. Some know him as Lucifer. And it said in that scripture, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, some of you might know the devil looking a bit like this. That's wrong. I don't believe that he looks like that. We always see like the nice pointy horns and he's got a pitchfork like, ooh, and there's all flames around him. And I'm like, that's rubbish. What a load of rubbish. Because in the Bible it talks about the devil being in charge of worship, as being someone that is beautiful, but a fallen angel. Someone who believed that they knew better than God and wanted to be equal or above God. So I never heard in Scripture when, in the Old Testament, angels appeared to people and they went, he's ugly. But all of a sudden, when we think of the devil, we're like, he's ugly. That's not true. There is this beautiful person on the outside. But inside, there is someone that is prowling around, desperate to devour us. The devil is this fallen angel that is prowling the earth. But he is defeated. Scripture already says that he is defeated in the midst of this battle. That we are already victorious. But he still wants to discourage us. He still wants to come against us. He still wants to make us stumble and forget that eternity awaits where there is perfection. But instead he wants to be that person sat there going, did you know? Why are you doing that? You know, I do love that image of this little person sat on my shoulder going, Bob, you could do something different. Why don't you do this? But you know what? The devil has no power. The devil can't physically get me to do something. He can't make my arms to move or my mouth to speak. The only thing he can do is to say, why don't you? Why don't you? Why don't I distract you in the midst of this? Now, C.S. Lewis had this quote. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence, and the other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I was younger, I fell into that second category. I was someone that had an unhealthy interest in the devil. And for a period in my life, I joined a cult, a coven. And I gathered with people because I thought that was the thing to do. Because this voice kept telling me, why not? Why not? Look after yourself, Bob. Oh, it'll be fun. It'll be exciting. And me as a 14-year-old boy thought, okay. I didn't know that there was a battle raging for my life. All I knew is that someone was whispering to me, telling me I had a choice to make and I ought to make this one. And for some of us, we probably fall into one of these categories. You might not want to be even thinking about the devil, that it has no place in your life, that you just want to ignore it and leave it on the back burner like, oh, I can just carry on life. I don't need to worry about any of that. Or you can be so fascinated that, oh, the cookies were burnt this morning. That must be the devil. I know a few people like that. Oh, yeah, I missed the bus this morning. It was the devil that made me miss the bus. I'm like, did you wake up on time? No, but that was not me. And we get into this unhealthy obsession that everything that goes wrong in life is because of him. And that's not true either. There are moments in our life and people that we come across that have ended up hearing all this rubbish about themselves, being pushed one way or the other, and they've acted on it. According to a survey recently, which I was quite intrigued by, 18% of people in the UK believe that there is some kind of personal evil, i.e. the devil. Amongst Christians, though, the figure was higher, but they were more likely to believe in aliens than the devil. Who are they talking to? I've been in some churches where I'm not sure they know who Jesus is, never mind aliens, but no, I don't. I'm joking. But we can take a middle place, a road between the two, with this unhealthy obsession or this complete blindness to this battle and this adversary that we face. On the one hand, we've got to recognise there is this spiritual battle going on. We can't see it, but it is real nevertheless. So when things are going around, we can raise the eyebrow in a sort of knowing way and go, yes, I can see. There's more going on than meets the eye. But Satan has no power physically over us. He can cajole, consort, and distract us. But as a Christian, I've never had a moment where I would say the devil made me do it. It's always been my personal choice. If we look at the devil through scripture, right in that very first instance, the devil didn't put the fruit on the tree, or the apple as most people think it is. He didn't put that fruit there. God put the fruit there and said, don't eat from that. The devil didn't pick it off and go, go on, Adam, Eve, eat this, and force it in their mouth. I don't know how he'd have managed that. But what did he do? He sat there and said, why not? Why not? Why shouldn't you know those things? Why shouldn't you do that? Oh, you probably ought to. He had no power apart from to distract and cajole us into doing something. That is the only power that the devil has. But we need to recognize that in this battle, whose side are we on? The good thing is, you're on the winning side. The one that's already been won. Now, I don't know about you, I play a lot of board games. You know when you're playing board games, especially Monopoly, it's not a real board game. But when you're playing Monopoly and someone sat there with like 50 grand, you've got 50 pence left in the bank and they're on their way round and you're getting that sense of, oh, they've already won, haven't they? And they're getting even more excited as they roll the six and they get that step closer. And then you roll a three and you're that bit closer to them winning. And they're like, oh, if you roll a two, I've won. You're going to land on my property and owe me thousands of pounds. And they get really excited. And there's all this build-up. And when I played Monopoly, you could end up going around that board another 7-8 times before landing on that spot and they're, yes, I've won. But there's this build-up, there's this excitement, there's this moment like, oh, in Catan, I just need one more sheep, and I've won. And then you get to the end, and this excitement happens, there is victory. There's been this build-up, knowing the victory's on its way, and it's suddenly there. And someone else flips the board and goes, I'm not playing again. I'm just preparing you for Christmas. And we go through these motions to finish off their turn. The excitement builds and pow, it's done. But even then, we won't put the board away. Because you know what? In the midst of this journey that we're going on, this expectancy, I'm about to win. I've won. God says I've got an expansion pack. Don't put the board away just yet. There is an eternity expansion pack that's about to be tacked on the end of this. Yes, you've been living in this moment, rolling and rolling, building up to this moment where perfection, and now we're here, we're going to continue. So we're on the winning side. The devil's got a quid left in his bank that he's trying to bargain with. Oh, I'll give you one sheep for 15 wood and 3 bricks. He's never going to win because no one's ever going to do that deal. So we're already on a winning side. And if you're not on that side, the board's packed away and you end up in a dark box on your own. I know it's a weird analogy, I apologize. But there won't be any pitchforks. There won't be any flames and there won't be a Lucifer sat there like, oh, welcome to my humble abode. Because that's not how it works. That's something people have just made up. But what we do know is that we'll just be in this box of blankness. There'll be no light, no goodness, and no God for eternity. Now for me, I know what side I'm on. I'm on that winning side that when the game is done, there is an eternity of hope. There is eternity of love with God. But where are we when the board's done? Are we someone that is still sitting on a fence, hoping that when we get to the end, we get another chance? It doesn't happen that way. Being a Christian is the only way to defeat this battle. It's the only way the victory is going to be won. Now, next week, we're going to focus on the armour of God that we should wear to be able to fight this battle. But my biggest encouragement within the midst of all of this is to face the battle. To face the one and override it all. Everything that we walk through, we need to recognise there is a commander-in-chief that we need to talk to. There is someone that is already on that battlefield defeating Satan exactly where he is. But do we know him? And if we do know him, are we talking to him? In those moments where life is rubbish and difficult, and we feel and know this battle that's going on in our mind, that's saying, do this, do that, do the other, are we asking God to help us in the midst of it? We need to use the best weapon that we have, which is prayer. In that Ephesians passage, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. In James, it says this. In James 4. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, this battle that we face where the devil wants to cajole and distract, all we need to do is say, I rebuke you. Be gone in Jesus' name. And he will flee. We might not feel the effect straight away. We might still have to face some really tough battles. But you know, God is there in the middle of it. How are we to use it? We need to pray, because that wreaks havoc on our adversary. It really works. That's why he wants to do everything to stop us. To stop us from praying. Because as we pray, there is far more going on than we know. So my encouragement is pray. Keep praying. Stay alert. Pray for individuals. Pray for groups of people. Remember who we are and who God is. And for me, I know that in the middle of this battle, I'm on the winning side. Today, that voice that is jabbering away has no power anymore. And if you don't yet know Jesus, today is your day. Because I don't want you to pack your box away and end up in the dark. We need to know who Jesus is. That he loves us, that he cares for us, that we are saved, restored, and redeemed. And all we have to do is ask. There's nothing more powerful in this fight. We're not called to go and kick doors down, smack people in the face. I know, it's a bit Smith Wigglesworth. He smacked people, but they were healed. It's great. I'd love that ministry. But we're simply called to say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Resist the devil and he will flee. So this morning, if you are facing that battle, that you are struggling with life, you feel you need a medic, ask for one. If you feel like you're a soldier, but you can't go on anymore because it's been so long that you've been in this fight, pray and ask for help. Ask for a moment of breath. As we prayed this morning and we remember the war, and those that gave their lives in the midst of it, there is still that one day on Good Friday when everything stopped and they played football in the middle, country and country. There was peace in the midst of war. And so if you need that peace today, ask for it. So I'm just going to spend some time just creating that space for us to pray in the midst of this war. To recognize who we are. So, Father, we thank you this morning that you are King of Kings, that you are Lord of Lords, that you are Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, that in you all things have been made and come into being, and in you there is love and hope and acceptance. That in the middle of this battle that we face against the devil and all of his evil schemes, we say, Jesus, you are sovereign, that you are Lord of it all. In you there is victory. In you the battle has been won. And so, Father, we pray this morning for the battles that we face. Lord, we rebuke the devil and all of his evil schemes. We rebuke the devil and the things that he's said over us that aren't of you. Those times when the devil's spoken that we are pointless, that we are unloved. Those times when the devil's tried to tell us that we have no skill or ability, we are nothing special, that people won't love us or care for us. Lord, we rebuke those lies. And we say, Jesus, in you there is that love. There is acceptance that we are special in your eyes. That each of us have gifts and abilities that you've given to us. That we are loved and cherished. So Lord, I pray for those of us that may have had an unhealthy obsession with the devil and blamed him for everything. Lord, would you help us to just accept what we've done that is wrong? And would you forgive us? Lord, we ask for hope in the midst of this battle. Lord, for those of us that are medics, Lord, would you fill us with more love and compassion? For those of us that are injured, would you bring healing into our body, into our mind? And for those of us that have been blind, Lord, may we just see your goodness and your grace and your acceptance. So, Father, I thank you that in you the victory has already been won, that there is eternity with you in our future. But I pray for those of us this morning that may not yet know you, that may not have known you as our friend, as our Saviour. And if that's you, I encourage you this morning that today is the day. The Lord is ready and waiting with open arms. That in him there is freedom and victory. So Lord, this morning we are sorry for the things that we've done, for the things that we've said, the times that we've hurt other people, for the times that we've hurt you, and for the times that we've hurt ourselves by the things and words that we've spoke over us. Jesus, we recognize that you died on that cross for us, God in human form, having lived perfection. And because of your death as a perfect offering, you came back to life, that you defeated death, you defeated the devil's evil schemes, that he had no power anymore because of your resurrection. Lord, we thank you for that and ask that we would know it in our hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, would you just fall on us? May we know you with us in the midst of this battle. We give you all the honor and glory. Lord, thank you for your victory. Yeah.